welcome back to the Are You the One wrap-up podcast. My name is Allie Lasher, here to talk about the season 7 finale. Can't do that by myself, so let's not wait any longer to bring in my co-host, Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, what's going on?
Nothing much. I literally finished the finale like an hour ago, so I'm raring and ready to go.
All right, that's good. It's fresh for both of us. Yeah. I also finished it not too long ago. Nothing says you're doing life right like you have time to watch Are You the One in the middle of a weekday.
No, exactly. I think that definitely reflects us as individuals.
No shame, though. I'm proud of it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yes.
So, big picture, what's your initial reaction to the finale before we really get into anything?
I guess, like, I don't know, it felt like, you know, we've talked about this before, like before we got on the podcast, that it was short. It was an hour. I feel like they gave us 3 hours at a time, like usually just throw a bunch of stuff at us. When I went and tuned into like my recordings, I fully expected that it'd be at least 2 hours of Are You the One. So I was kind of pleasantly surprised because for my time schedule, I was happy. But like in the whole grand scheme of things, I feel like it felt kind of short, and like they were kind of finding things to throw in there for the, like, they literally made them go back into the house. Like, that was, I feel like they've never done that before. They were definitely like fishing for content for this last episode.
See, that's interesting. I was also wondering if I had left myself enough time today before the podcast, if it was going to end up being 2 hours. I'm happy with an hour. I don't know what else they could have really done unless we like slowed down. Either if we slowed down the progression and had to do like a full date into the Nutza Brett truth booth and then had the matchup at the end of the episode, or make last week could have been the finale, but, or I mean, not last week that we skipped for Halloween, yeah, age appropriately, but the week before that. One thing I am bummed about is that we didn't get the reunion right away. Like, I get why they base it out. I'm still going to tune in. I'm hyped for the reunion. Reunions are, I think, the biggest benefit of reality shows. It's so exciting to kind of like see what's happened after we've taken some space from the actual filming. But I'm ready for it now. Like, I want to conclude and open right into the reunion.
And I guess you're right. With reality shows and in the reunions, I feel like they're kind of like every solid reality show needs, like, you need to find out where everyone's been. But I feel like at the end of every reunion, it's pretty much everything that happened since the show aired and like shit hitting the fan and then the reunion. So like, I feel like nothing ever is just like, oh, we're all still very happy. Like, you know how they leave most reality shows? Everything's just like, nope, everything went to shit. We're screwed. And I expect nothing less with the Are You the One 7 reunion.
Oh, I'm excited. They've been doing teasers. We'll get to it. We'll make some predictions on who we think's together. But
for sure,
to get to that, we got to get through what did happen in the episode, what happened this week. So the big cliffhanger we were left on is, are Brett and Nutza going to be a perfect match?
And we find out that they are. Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, all I could think about was, like, imagine if this happened weeks ago and it should have happened. Umberto wrote to us and said, can we talk about how Brett and Asia almost ruined this a few weeks ago by avoiding sending Brett and Nutza together? This is BS. We can't forget that happened.
Yep, and that was when, didn't, like, Brett tell Asia that he was like, I don't want to go in, and she kind of spread it throughout the house, and then they put, who even went in with Nutza that week? I don't even remember who it was. Sorry, so much happens. I always
forget.
Yeah,
no, I think Brett still went in with Jasmine.
Oh, maybe, I don't
or
know.
Or someone went in Jasmine instead?
Yeah, probably, you're probably right. I have no idea.
Too much on the brain.
Yeah, yeah, too much Ato.
But do you think that, I guess we're going to jump ahead, like, do you think Brett and Nutza have a future?
No, zero chance. He, like, it's clearly, okay, this is what it looks like. She's super into him. He's like, eh, she's here and she's pretty, so I guess I'm going to, like, move forward with it. And, like, the way I feel like just by watching him look at her, it doesn't look real. Like, you could tell when, like, I feel like even Tevin and Kenya, when they look at each other, you could say they at least really care about each other. I feel like every time he looks at Nutza, he's like, okay, how should I be looking at her? It never feels genuine.
Yeah, also, I'm a full idiot. Sorry. Zach and Nutza went in, which does at least make a little sense.
But I don't even remember that. Like, I feel like there's so many truth boots that they all just blend in at the end.
I believe that's the date that Bria also manipulated to go on the date.
Yes.
Saying okay, that her and Brett could be a match.
Yes.
So that was week 7, which really would have opened things up. That was before Tevin and Kenya were even a confirmed match.
Wow.
And it seemed to really be the trigger, and we'll talk about the strategy a little bit, but that seemed to trigger Cam and the other people who were the strategists this season, Callie, to getting result.
Yeah, I do remember that now. Okay.
So if they had gone in then, like, they could have had it earlier. But then we wouldn't have had as much content. Brett's still the worst. The thing about Bootsa is, like, I would strive to take, like, such little shit as Nutsa does. Like, if you disrespect Nutsa, like, it's on you. I don't know how she does it. Like, and yeah. Morgan has a little bit of this, too. Like, Brett, like, disrespects her, and Nutsa's like, fine, I'm not going to be, like, I'm not pressed, like, whatever, I tried, I opened my heart to you. Then Brett comes to her, and she's like, okay, I'll give you another chance. But I fully don't believe that, like, Nutsa's going to be at Brett's mercy. Like, my prediction for their story is, like, Nutsa tried to make it work like she did on the show. She's been genuine, she's been amazing, and Brett wasn't ready for it. Brett didn't want it, and so she's single and, like, dating, I don't know, like, Johnny from The Challenge. Not Bananas. I
actually have, wow. It was Johnny Riley?
Yeah.
Wow, what a throwback. Real World Portland. But anyway, so my friend actually, this is like inside edition of Are You the One spoilers. My friend actually saw Nutsa on Tinder. Or Bumble or some app. I don't know what it was. And he said, he was like, yeah, what's that girl's name from Are You the One? Because he watched like the first two episodes. Like, he never watches. For some reason, he watched this time. And I was like, Nutsa? He goes, yeah, well, I saw a girl on Tinder with her name and she's from Jersey. And I'm like, you really think there's any other Nutsa in like around here? Like, are you serious? Of course it was her. And he was like, yeah, I swiped right, but she obviously didn't match back. I'm like, okay, stop throwing yourself a pity party. So she's swiping. So that must mean that she's single, or at least she's on Tinder in an open relationship. Who knows? But she's probably single.
So this is interesting because I believe that Nutsa lives in LA now with Kayla.
But I don't know dating apps that well. This might have been a few months back.
Well, humble brag.
No,
I know dating apps.
Not that there's anything wrong with dating apps. I'm just not the most familiar with them. But I there's also like Plus, and like you can get like the advanced version and be wherever you want. So maybe I don't know. Or it could have been a fake, right? Like, it could have been someone impersonating her. So maybe that's fake news.
All right, so we'll check on that next week at the reunion. Yeah, teaser for that.
We'll have Cam check in on the fake news and let us know if it's fake or
God,
real.
I can't even laugh about that. All right, so then the main headline this week, besides the fact that Brett Bootsa is a match, is will Samantha ruin the game by following her heart to Daniel, or will Samantha give in to the temptations of strategy by selecting Lewis?
I've been saying this since the first podcast that I want nothing more than for Lewis and Sam to be a perfect match. And it was so funny how they like set it up with the first episode with her saying, there's no way you're my perfect match. It's not going to happen. So I, at this point in the episode, I was totally rooting for her and Lewis to be a perfect match. And I had a feeling like I thought she was going to pick Daniel, though. Like, I really did. Like, that's where I thought she was just like, nope, I'm following my heart. That's where I'm going to go. She seems kind of like set in her ways a bit. So I kind of just I thought she was going to go that way.
Yeah, I mean, it just did. I never bought into it. Like, it doesn't make any sense, right? Because if you lose the money, you get the full I told you so rights, which I think are more valuable to Samantha as they would be valuable to me. Not more valuable than money. Like, I'm not, listen, I'll take the money. But, like, it's sort of like a win-win. If you win, you get the money, and nobody's going to really say I told you so because you're still getting the money. And if you lose, like, they silenced your amazingness. If you take the risk of screwing the house, you're like the most hated person in MTV's America.
But okay, let me throw this at you. Let's say she's like, okay, I don't want my MTV run to end here. Does she make that move, screw over the whole house, and like turn into like a kind of a character we talk about, rather than, you know what, here's your 15 grand or whatever it is, and then you're never, or whatever, for, I don't know exactly the amount of money. But here's your money. You're probably not going to be remembered too much, and you might not be on another show. Do you think that's a risk worth taking for yourself?
That is a very good question. The only other time we've seen this happen, I believe, is with Leighton when it was the 11th girl twist and he picked the more risky option by picking the 11th girl, Christina, and not Taylor Guise, as we called her on the podcast. So he was like, the whole house was angry and it ended up being fine because they were both his match. But like, it was the, like, I'm going against the house and picking for myself move. Mm-hmm. And we never saw Leighton again. Now, I think in theory that would work, right? If Zach is in the position and he's the hated person. True. And then he makes the hated move, it makes the house lose. Samantha's like, shtick is like, not that she's like a vengeful person or that, not vengeful, but like, not that she's not the villain. Like, I think she's the, like, you know, she's in love. She's the tough girl who fell in love and her walls came down. Like, if she picks for love and screws the house, I don't know that that like makes bolsters her narrative at all.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Like, I guess they weren't building her up to be this like villain. Like you said, if Zach did it, oh man, that would secure a lot. But the thing is, Zach is still so boring on camera. Like, he still has no personality. So like, I can't imagine him going to like the challenge or X on the Beach and being like this villain. Like, he just seems like he'd be like, oh yeah, okay. Like, he just seems so bland. And like, I think maybe it's just an on camera thing, because apparently, like we said, like, girls really like him. But he just comes across as bland.
Yeah, that is really interesting. You're right. I think like Zach going to the challenge would be like when like a really good high school football player, yeah, like who's the big dog at his high school, goes to like Michigan. I don't know what's, yeah, a good football school. Alabama. No, that's fine. Like,
Michigan's either.
And you're just like, oh shit. You know, like, I just, yep, don't think, I think he's like out of his league. Whereas like Devin was sort of the Zach on his season, but that could translate to the challenge. I think you're right. I don't know that Zach's like personality will translate well to the big leagues.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was actually Corey Wharton who said, are you the ones like the minor leagues? And I guess in a sense, he's right. Like, it's, you're taking all of these people who kind of have potential to go on to new shows and do their own thing. And it's not like the real, in the past where the real world was the only source. And like, you got like potentially almost the whole season getting featured on a season of the challenge. Like, this is like your chances are way down. So I feel like you really have to like bring in, have that character that they're looking for. But then also, like you said, like, Nelson wasn't featured at all in his season. He's been on the challenge so many different times. So I guess it's tough for us to even read it.
Yeah. And also the elimination of the challenges, not that that was ever like a really big indicator of how someone was going to do, but like, we have no idea what Zach's athletic ability is. My hunch is that it's not a lot, but we didn't even see him move this season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Callie and Andrew. There's a real way to transition. I'm not going to like throw Andrew's body under the bus. but Callie maybe wants to, we see this conversation sort of happen randomly. My question is, Callie asked him like, are you a sexual person? Do you think, like, was Callie asking that in like a critical way? Like, you don't seem like a sexual person and that's important to me. Or was she like genuinely interested?
I don't know. Like, I really, it's, for some reason, this couple's tough to gauge with me, because it feels like they're not, like, I don't know, like, they, like, lay down next to each other, whatever, but it doesn't feel like they're, like, kissing and, like, being, like, romantic. It just seems like they're kind of, like, really good buds. So I don't know if she was just, like, asking that, like, just as they were playing, like, 20 questions and asking a bunch of different questions. I don't really know what her take on it was. For some reason, I just don't see them making it. Like, and he seems really, really into the situation, which is kind of bizarre to me. But I don't know. I'm not like feeling this couple at all, perfect match or not. I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because I think what's going to happen is Callie's going to be like, well, I was always with Tomas. So like, sorry, Andrew, you know, I'm with Tomas. But yeah, we did see when Tomas and her were confirmed no match, like, she was like, well, Tomas isn't my match. Like, I have to move on to the next person. So I almost think that, like, she's just really not that into Andrew, which is fine. And, like, her being with Tomas is, like, a nice excuse.
Yeah.
And also, like, Andrew's really doing a bad job of getting a read on the situation. Like, she's like, oh my god, I see why you're my match. She's not like, oh my god, I like you so much.
Yeah, yeah. And he's, like, saying the weird shit, like, oh yeah, like, I'll always be there for you. Like, I want you in my life. Whether it's a girlfriend, a wife, it's like, what? Like, a wife? Like, why would you even, like, mention that? It's just, I don't know. I feel like he's not doing a great job of reading it, and he's comes across very strong.
Yeah, I noticed that too. He puts it on like a scale of 70 to 100, not exactly. Like 0 to 100. Yes. Like, oh, I'll be anywhere in your life from like girlfriend to fiance to boyfriend to like full marriage and 15 kids range. But like, right? You know, whatever I'm allowed to be, if it's just your boyfriend or your husband or your dominatrix.
Yeah, like, then that got so like bizarre. And like, I'm not knocking anyone who wants to do what they want to do, but it's just like, it just was so random. The whole thing felt forced to me.
Yeah, I feel bad for Andrew here almost, because it was like, she's like, are you a sexual person? And he's like definitely coming at it on the defensive, which I get, because like my read was also that it seemed like she was asking a question. She was saying something by asking him that, right? She was like, you don't seem like a sexual person. Yes. I'll let you tell me that you are, which is a strange question to ask. And he's just like, oh, yeah, like, I'm a full, like, you seen 50 Shades of Grey? Which is, like, the last reference anybody who's actually into that kind of thing would make. Like, it was just so sad. And then he's like, we have so much chemistry. Like, nothing about their interaction seemed like chemistry to me.
No, it seems like they're both, like they're both very, like, personable people in a way. So they're both, like, just, like, excited when they talk. But I feel like that doesn't disguise the fact that they're not, like, there's no, like, romantic chemistry.
And you mentioned that the scene where they go to like lay down at the end of the night after the matchup ceremony. So I was poking around and listening to some Instagram lives to see if there's anything worth noting. Andrew and Callie did one together, and Callie said, like, he didn't even bring it up. Like, she just immediately was like, oh my God. And she also said this on Twitter, like, I never said that we had like sexual tension. That was a Frankenbite, like, you know, she didn't say Frankenbite, but that's when, like, yeah, they took a bite of her saying Andrew from another scene and laid it over her saying Tomas, because she was like, I know that shirt. I wore it when I was, like, week 4 and still with Tomas, and I said it about Tomas. When she's like, I have sexual tension with him, and I'm ready for it. And, like, knowing that when I watched it, it really did, like, it definitely is, like, I have so much sexual tension with Andrew, and like, you know, it's just like, yeah, so bad. Like, you could clearly tell.
Yeah, no, I actually didn't notice that. Like, I thought it was kind of weird that she said it, but I didn't notice like the editing and like the poor editing. So I just was kind of like, oh, maybe she finds him attractive. Like, he's a good looking guy. Like, maybe that's it. But no, I could it makes a lot more sense that it was all kind of like edited around.
Let's talk about the speed dating scene. We get Asia coordinating 15-minute intervals of speed dating. Daniel Shelley wants to know, were all the speed dating couples the perfect matches?
I think so, right? Like, what? Like, that was like, okay, so this is what I like to like refer to at the end of the RU1 season, when they have no edit for a couple and they have to do something real quick. So I actually think this was like the producer saying, okay, like, why don't you do speed dating, just so they had footage from everyone they needed to have. And it was kind of like the perfect way to be like, okay, we could edit this into 5 minutes, where like Bria talks to Cam really quick, and like whoever talks to whoever. So I don't know, it seems like once again kind of, okay, we need something to prove that these couples like each other, so here you go.
Yeah, they gave us camera time with three of definitely the what couples at this point, and so you're exactly right, like, this was definitely so that we could understand a little bit before the matchup ceremony. We did also get Jasmine and Zach having a conversation, but it was like so not notable that I didn't even write anything down with it. So when I go back and look now, it's like very appropriate that only that they showed us four couples, and the only three that had anything of substance going on were the perfect match couples.
Shocker.
and what Asia and Tomas, their connection is that they like care about education.
Cool.
Quasi and Lauren, this was really like, Lauren was like, he has a softer side, which is almost never seen, and that little bit of him is attracted to me.
Yeah, it was, and she was, and then, you know, my favorite part of the whole episode is when Quasi goes, you know what's crazy? My mom's a teacher, and she's a teacher. So do you think the matchmakers did it on purpose? Like, I could literally see the producer sitting in the room like, we really don't know what to do with, like, Quasi and Lauren. Oh, wait, his mom's a teacher. Okay. Like, it was just the most ridiculous, like, little, like, tidbit of, like, oh, that makes us a perfect match. Like, I know plenty of teachers that are awful humans, so I feel like that really doesn't mean much if you're looking for someone you're compatible with. I'm sure there's a lot of great teachers out there, too. But that doesn't prove anything is what I'm saying.
And in the continuation of the ongoing segment where Allie reads just tweets she got from Rourke or Johnny Langan, Rourke texted me a screen grab of a prior text to me from September 30th where she said, watch, Lauren's match will be Quasi.
Wow.
As like an example of just like the randomness that they'll put together. Kudos to Rourke. That was amazing.
Do you think it was Rourke realized that when Lauren fell off the horse and she just for some reason just knew it was her and Quasi were meant to be?
I believe it was even before this. Like, this was when Andrew and Lauren were matching up together.
They didn't even shut that down. They just, like, never talked about it again.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. That would just kind of died, like, on the table.
There was no
edit. We did get it today, or this week. You and I got it today. The rest of the world got it last night when they watched the episode, where they were doing their, like, sort of, like, who yes. matched up each week, and then they're like, okay, if we're going with this couple, then Lauren and Andrew aren't a match.
And they were also like, oh, they're definitely not a match. Like, they, like, I don't know, I feel like there was some weird, like, falling out that were like, oh, they're too bland to put in. And I know Andrew's, like, exciting, and I feel like Lauren really was one of the, like, the lesser edited people. So at least we got to know that she's a teacher.
Yeah, no, that was news to me as well.
Oh my God.
Also newsworthy, Bria and Cam's conversation about religion and nature and that I can understand. But it really shocked me that Bria was willing to go, like, Trump sympathizer, Trump supporter for the $1 million.
Yeah, and I started to question, like, okay, how much of that is her convincing herself, you know, with Cam? Like, how much of that is her telling herself, well, I could, like, maybe, or how much of it is, like, her genuine feelings? I really don't know what the difference.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I just, like, I mean, we're watching it in a different world than when she filmed this. I mean, that's not that different of a world, but it's still different. It was a very interesting conversation to see on television. To see Bria say that she agrees with some of Trump's policies and so can't knock people for supporting who they want to support. I think what Cam should have done is gone into the house and said, who in this room is a woman where me supporting Trump would not be a deal breaker? And then only focused his attention on those women who said that. Like, because that would have knocked his entire house down to, like, three women, maybe.
I think I don't even, like, besides, like, Kayla, like, I'm trying to think of, like, I guess we don't know their views. So, like, we don't know if any other people who they support, but it doesn't seem like it'd be I can't see it being, honestly, three seems so high for me.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? You never know. Right. But I think that's what he should have focused on. Right. Cause I don't think they would have been able to, like, if somebody had fundamentally different values to someone, I don't know that the matchmakers could even randomly put them together. Like, if I got matched with Cam, I would be like, I don't understand because I don't believe in anything that he supports. And, like,
exactly.
Could never.
Like, there's no way. Yeah, there's no, like, we're just literally never gonna, like, it would never work. So, like, I'm assuming, like, I don't know. It just didn't seem like the and of course, I don't know Bria's, like, political views outside of this one little statement, but it just seems like she's very, like, strong and independent. Then she would be like, you know what? Like, I don't agree with your views. You don't agree with mine. Like, that's fine. But, like, I was kind of taken aback by this.
Yeah, I was taken aback, to be sure. And I think that's just, like, what's interesting is it kind of took them aback, too. They said on the episode, Bria also said it in her Instagram Live last night that, like, her and Cam, like, checked each other off as, like, not being each other's match, like, day one or two. And then once they had this conversation, they were like, oh, my God, we're a match. We just always kept it surface after that. And, like, it's still strange to me that, like, you don't know who your match is and you're not even going to have one conversation of depth with somebody else. But, you know, I'm not on the show.
Yeah, it's a bizarre situation.
Did you like this? Probably I liked their strategy session they had after the speed dating, where usually we'll see them having conversations about, like, okay, you sat with you, you sat with you, you sat with you, whatever. But this season, I feel like we saw them for the first time saying, okay, now here are the possibilities from that week. Do you guys think you're a match? Do you like each other? Do you have feelings for each other?
Yeah, that is a cool way of doing it. No, it's different. And I also, okay, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like we didn't have one person leading the charge this time.
Yeah, I think people have largely given credit to Cam for the strategy just on Twitter. But I agree. It kind of seemed like Asia, Callie, Cam. And I think that's good when you're giving people a voice to say, how do you feel, Daniel, about Jasmine? He's like, I think we could be a match. Whereas, like, I forget which couple they, like, knocked out right away because they were like, no, we don't have feelings for each other.
And do you think, okay, so do you think someone like Cam, let's say he was the ringleader, right? Do you think with his polarizing views that he would be someone that could be cast for the challenge? Or do you think that, like, he, because I feel like as personality wise, like he seems comfortable being on camera. And I don't know, I feel like that would throw, like the MTV would feed off of having him on other shows just to kind of show the differences and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cam said on Instagram a while ago that some cheating, that he would never go on the challenge. But, and I think it's not good for his career, right? He's a law student. This was sort of his, like, one summer, and I think he wants to go into politics and law, and, like, going on the challenge isn't, like, amazing for that. But neither is going on Earth 1. Whatever. So, let's say he would go on the challenge. I don't know that they'd really get the Trump thing from him, right? If they want to, and there are plenty of people on the challenge now who support Trump. I just don't think, like, it's a part. Like, I think it's a fundamental part of who he is on Twitter. I think from what we see on the show, it's not necessarily, like, the most defining element of his personality or anything like that. Like, I think he'd be, like, fine on the challenge as, like, you know, I liked what he said to Zach in this episode where he's like, you know, you don't know yourself and, like, nobody should ever date you. And, like, you're just not an adult person like that. I think a lot of people on the challenge could benefit from hearing that from Cam. But other than shading other people and acting superior to them, I don't know that he really has a spot.
You know, I agree with everything you said. I do think we need some new Are You the One blood on the challenge. I feel like we haven't had that in a while. And I'm trying to, like, not give anything away, but I think that, I don't know, I feel like it's not being as represented as like it was, where they were just kind of bringing new people in all the time just because they're taking people from all these new shows. So I kind of do wish that they pull some people back from Are You the One and give them a chance to show them what they could do.
Yeah, I am curious. I would be curious to know, like, what the process is, if they have a preference for other shows that aren't Are You the One now that they're bringing in other shows, or if it's just been that people have declined or they just don't feel like there's that much interest. That is interesting. I'd like to know. Man, I'll do some poking around the powers that be.
We'll see. You're pretty good at finding things. Like, I feel like I'm a lot worse, so I'll leave that up to you.
And you're in the gym with these people.
Yeah, but I don't know them personally. I'm, like, standing at the far end of the room. I'm lifting significantly less weight than them. Like, that's the relationship we have.
To be very clear, I don't know anyone on Are You the One personally.
Neither do I. I know I see them at the gym. We know E-Money. We know E-Money now, so we could ask him. But I feel like we might get a vulgar response.
All right. So we talked about Sam and Lewis, like, and basically the whole house trying to persuade Sam. Where was Daniel here? Like, why isn't Daniel saying to Sam, look, like, we're following our heart by being together after this, whatever. Like, just pick Lewis.
I just feel like he doesn't care. Like, I just feel like he's the type of person, like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, just, like, sits in the corner and kind of, like, smiles and drinks his beer. Like, that's the vibe I get with Daniel. Like, he doesn't seem to really offer, like, much of an opinion on things. He's just, like, I don't know. I don't think Daniel really cared all that much about what Sam did. Like, okay, you do what you gotta do. That's just the vibe I get. Maybe he's way smarter than I'm giving credit for, but I don't know.
He needs that money, though. He's screaming that out. We all need this money.
Yeah, maybe. maybe he's just happy with his stipend.
Do you think any of the Sam stuff was overblown? Like, that they just needed, like, you know, a hook? Like, maybe they did have a conversation.
Oh, for sure.
And you're, just you're like, exactly they, right. If you see Daniel and Sam agreeing to not pick each other, then it's sort of the interest is over.
I really think that she decided, like, a decent amount of time before, like, the final, like, matchup ceremony, which she was going to do. And I think those were either like prior to her decision or her just playing it up. I think she knew exactly what she was going to do. It just doesn't make sense to go against the whole house. Like you mentioned before, the pros and cons, like it clearly makes sense just to go with the house. Worst case scenario, it's not your fault. And you're the one who could say, I told you so. So I don't think there was any scenario where she picked Daniel.
What about the scheme that Asia and Bria hatch to plant a seed that Daniel kissed Callie at that unicorn fairy nymph party and make it so that Sam doesn't want to sit next to Daniel?
That was actually the theme of my birthday this year, fairy nymph.
But, perfect.
But honestly, I don't think it... I don't think it did anything. And not because of them as much, because the way they handled it was like, they seemed like they were lying like straight up. Like it just didn't seem believable. But Mo just came across as really dumb in this scene. He was like, oh, I'll tell her. And like he goes and talks to her and it just seems so forced and awkward when he was talking to her. It was just such a weird scene that I feel like didn't really accomplish much and it could have been a lot cooler.
Yeah, I thought that Bri and Asia had a really good method of going about this. Because if they go up to Sam, Sam's not buying it. But they go up to Kayla and Mo, who are like the two most like, speaking of like fairy nymphs, like they're the two most like innocent people in the house, or Kayla at least. And she even's like, are you lying? Oh my God, she'd be so devastated. That's so terrible. She has to know. And then Mo blows it because when Mo's talking to Samantha, like I feel like the way it was supposed to go down is like, hey, friend to friend, like I support you in following your heart. Like I thought you and Daniel were a match 100% and like you need to make your decision, but like you need full information. I don't want to make you look stupid. Like Daniel kissed Callie. But the fact that he makes it about the match is like, Daniel kissed Callie and so you should pick Lewis.
Yeah, we did not support my positivity towards Mo. He just seemed like he just did not know how to speak in this situation. Like it was just like he was like, yeah, like this is why, like it just didn't make sense. I don't know, when he was saying it, I was like, this is so not believable. Like even if he, and like I think he mentioned eventually, like, oh, Bria and Asia saw, like that was the last thing he said. And honestly, I don't even know if he told her that, because that was, you didn't see him saying that to her. Like that, it seemed like it was kind of edited from a confessional. So I just think Mo kind of just botched this whole one and improved by maybe he doesn't connect with many people in the house.
Apparently Samantha was saying that on Twitter and Instagram, whatever, that like, it actually did. Daniel did try to kiss Callie, and Callie later told Samantha that. So, like, she was like, I didn't believe it, Bria and Asia, but it just so happens that Bria and Asia made up a lie that turned out to be true. And so I think we're going to get that on the reunion, because Samantha was like, they didn't show me, like, yelling at Daniel about it. And then Daniel, like, tweeted some cryptic, like, response denying it, but I think that needs to get sorted out at the reunion.
Yeah, I'm sure it will, and I'm sure they'll blow it way out of proportion, like Are You the One cast members usually tend to do.
Let's go to the matchup ceremony. Terrence calls Callie down and refers to her as one of the team leaders. Did you have any understanding of what that was coming from?
No, and she was like, oh, I'm going first. Like, it was just such a weird, like, little, like, back and forth, because she didn't acknowledge that. Like, I don't know. I have no idea. I guess maybe she was pulling the strings more than we knew, but I have no clue.
Yeah, I think, like, Terrence had just maybe recently gone to, like, a corporate office training, because he's, like, calling her a team leader, and then he's later telling people to step into his office, which is just, you know, this stand of iPads that probably hasn't been updated since season one. That was weird. I do think that Callie has been, like, a strategist in the season, but to call her a team leader, especially when you haven't been in the house, Terrence, is very strange.
I feel like Terrence is like, you know what, I'm just going to go on a limb and say she's the team leader. So it makes no sense, I'm just going to guess.
It's also possible that he said it just because she was coming down first. Like, she was leading the team in that situation.
True, true. That I feel like that would make the most sense.
So, Callie picks Andrew. And I don't have a lot to say about the fashion tonight's episode, but in fact, I was a little disappointed for the finale. But do you remember what Callie and Andrew were both wearing?
Don't tell me they were color coordinated.
No.
No, I don't remember at all.
So they were both wearing items that, like, two people would never be going to the same event. Like, I was sort of like, what event would two people wearing this be going to together? So Callie was just wearing like a lace bandeau, which is just like, you know, a rectangle all the way around over her, like, you know, her chest. And then like, and she looks amazing. Like, there's not a knock to anyone's outfit, but just like, and like a tight pink skirt. And he's wearing like a suit jacket with a pocket square and a button down shirt. I'm just like, where are these two people going together? The only place you could be going, I decided, is like an MTV matchup ceremony or like maybe the VMAs.
Or like some like weird underground bar, like club scene where like they're both just like, you know what, like we're doing our own thing. It just also just backs up the fact they're not compatible in any way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but he's going to be her husband or boyfriend.
Yeah, well, so. Clearly he's going to be her husband. But other than that, they're not compatible.
So then Kayla picks Mo. Morgan picks Zach. And I love that even 14 episodes in, we're still cutting to Bria rolling her eyes over Morgan and Zach.
Yep, it's. I think it's only right.
What do you think of Morgan and Zach? Like, this is sort of supposed to be Morgan's big I told you so episode.
Yeah, I just feel like it's so outplayed. Like, I'm so over, and like, I'm just over like the Zach storylines. Like, we know he's a douche at this point. Like, there's not really much coming back from that. There was no like uplifting story arc. He literally, like, she called him out in the last episode. Like, there's not no like him like, oh, I'm gonna do better. Like, he's just kind of like, yep, this is me. So I'm just kind of over it. I don't think either of them sees a future with the other person, so I'm just kind of like moved past it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like Zach takes the fact that, like, he still has sex with Morgan as, like, he still, like, controls the situation. But I think it's clear to the viewers that Zach does not control the situation. If anything, that's, like, the positive takeaway is that, like, you know, Morgan's just, like, not accepting his apologies. Like, you played the game wrong. Like, you'll never know why we're a match. Like, we could have lost because of you. And, like, the fact that you think your actions were right, but hurting my feelings was wrong just shows what an idiot you are, and like, goodbye.
Exactly. And I hope that, like, and I know this is not going to happen, but I hope that people would, like, kind of be like, oh, Zach's a douche. Like, let's not go near him after the show. But clearly it's not true. And I'm sure there's a lot of, he's probably doing exactly what he wanted to do from this Are You the One experience.
Yep. Yep. Sounds like it from our friend, Ethan. So Samantha ends up picking Lewis. And before we talk about that, I have to talk about Samantha's outfit because it is so bad that it is amazing. Like, it is an instantly iconic outfit. Did you catch this outfit?
Could you refresh my memory? Like, could you describe it a little bit?
I would love to. So it's basically just like a red bra, and then she's wearing like a black choker with the hoops, with the red lipstick, with the smoky eye, with her, like, long, amazing hair that I'm jealous of. Like, it's more is more is more. And, like, I was living for the Samantha outfit. Everyone can at me on that.
How iconic would it have been if she chose the to be a perfect match with Daniel? And literally was wearing that outfit and was like, yep, like, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care if we go down. We're going down my way. Like, that would have been amazing.
I thought the outfit spoke for itself. But yes, maybe. Maybe that would be great, too. I hated it. I saw it, and I was like, wow. And then I saw it again and was like, wow.
Don't you just gotta respect someone for, like, just going, like, with the, like, obviously, I don't know girls' fashion as much as I feel like I know guys just a little better because I'm a guy. So I feel like, can you just, like, kind of respect someone for, like, taking such, like, a ballsy, like, move and be like, I'm going to wear this. It's like, wow. Like, that's ballsy.
She looked amazing. I'm trying to, like, find a picture of the outfit. She's only posted one photo, and it's, like, just the top half. Because I did want to know, we know that Sam has these red boots, and I wanted to know if she was also wearing the red boots, because I feel like that would be peak Samantha, is, like, to also wear the red boots. That's, like, kind of her stuff. But I don't know. So I'll be keeping an eye out if they do any flashbacks to the finale at the reunion.
No, for sure. I know you could take some screenshots.
What do you think of her? So we know that her fashion sense is 100, but what do you think about her? There are 100 strategies, but only one heart to follow mindset.
I'm so confused at this point. Like, a part of me is like, okay, like, what is the real strategy? Or are you the one? Is it to be strategic and kind of just play the numbers game? Or is it really just to see who you like? And I feel like for different couples, it's a different strategy. Like, for, like, maybe Brie and Cam, like, I don't know, like, maybe that it's kind of random, or Tomas and Asia, like, that's random. Like, they can't really follow the heart because there's, like, no connection there. So it's, like, what do you really do in this situation? So, like, I'm, like, all, after, like, watching this season, like, I don't know what the proper strategy is.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in the game, like, they were down to a 50-50 shot, and we have a question about it, so we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
But, like, the 100 at the last matchup to say that there are 100 strategies, like, anything by strategies, she more means like possibilities. Like, there really isn't like 100. There aren't 100 strategies. There's multiple ways to match people up. But in terms of what you're saying, like, yeah, I mean, the follow, that's the whole like paradox of Are You the One, is like following your heart is really just like mostly moving people towards people who are not their matches because they suck at love. And also, like, following your heart should mean finding your match, which means money. So it really shouldn't be a decision between love and money. It's you get love and money with your match. So yeah, Samantha, I was not persuading me here, but credit to her because she had to keep something going of interest this week. So at least someone was giving a story.
Yeah, it just makes me think that you said they should have maybe like cut some of these episodes down, like, and we could have just kind of ended after the shoot with last week.
And then to just give one more strategy, I guess, for Samantha, it's like you should follow, if you're not approachable, you find an ignorant asshole, quote, and then that's love, and that's how you'll understand each other. So that's just truly my favorite outfit, my favorite rationale for any couple. Like, I'm all in on Samantha.
Do you know, like, not if you know, but do you think they're gonna, her and Daniel are gonna end up together after the show?
No way. Like,
yeah.
Daniel barely talks about her in his Instagram. Samantha is all over, like, posting things from them from the show. Like, she's single. They're not together.
So, okay, so is she posting things like heartfelt captions, or is it like
no? It's like,
oh, okay,
it's like caption this, and it's like a picture of her like yelling at Daniel. Or she'll write like, I was yelling at Daniel for 3 hours, and they didn't show it, and Daniel just write like, no.
He could clearly see where he was going towards the end of the show. Like, he was like kind of backing out.
Maybe they try. You know, maybe they hooked up. Do I think they hooked up the reunion? Probably. Like, but I don't think they're like dating.
Oh, I agree.
Jasmine is Daniel's match. I actually really did like, genuinely like this look from Jasmine. This lavender dress she was wearing looked very pretty on her.
I, once again, have no idea what she's wearing.
Lauren picked Quasi, and we get one of the lines of the night, probably. Do you know where I'm going with this?
No, I don't.
All right, so she says, I'm bad, I'm bossy, and I'm classy. So since I'm BBC, I need a man with a BBC, and picks Quasi.
Oh, God, what did I just, you know what I might have done? I might have, like, saw them going up and, like, pressed, like, the 30-second, like, in advance button. I really think that's a strong possibility.
So that's when we got the teacher looking for his mom, the looking for his mom bit, which is funny because like she's like, I need a guy with the BBC. And he's like, you know what? I've been looking for my mom the whole time. And here she is.
OK, so I have a question. She's a teacher. Wouldn't you be mortified by saying that like on national TV? Like, I feel like I know teachers who have been worried for way less, like with just because they're like, OK, I'm working with kids. I don't want certain stuff out there. Like, wouldn't that jeopardize her career?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's a great point. Maybe like, you definitely can't like be a high school teacher and be an Are You the One, right? Because your kids are going to watch the show. Is she a preschool teacher? Maybe that doesn't matter as much.
Maybe. I have no clue, though. I really don't know.
Yep. Reality TV is a tricky bastard.
It really is.
And then Asia picks Tomas because, again, speaking of being a teacher, education and school are very important. And then Brie and Cam are the last people to step into Terrence's office. And Kenya and Tevin are losing it.
Yeah, they're not fans of the at least a few of the pairs, but they like really zone in on Brie and Cam, right? That was like their one where they're like, no, there's no way.
Yeah, and Asia and Tomas, I think.
Yes.
I grew like the last three couples, like Lauren and Quasi, Asia and Tomas, Brie and Cam, who are the couples we saw speed dating, are very much the WTF couples.
Mm, yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
So I don't blame them. Like, can you blame them for this reaction?
Oh, no, not at all.
But they won.
Yeah, they won. And I like Terrence's reaction here because he was genuinely excited for them. So that was cool.
When in the episode did you realize they were going to win?
When they won. When they were waiting for the beams.
Okay.
Like, and they were like kind of like waiting. I'm like, okay, like this is clearly like I know what they're doing. And taking a step back, do you think Terrence knows and was like kind of like hyping it up by like looking at them? That's the vibe I got.
Yeah, I also think it's garbage. Like, I guess the rule is it's like not over till the lights come on. The highlights, not the highlights, like the main lighting.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, like.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But Terrence took his hand off the iPad, and I'm sort of like, that's when that's over. Like, I think that was too much of a fake out to turn around with his hand. Like, oh, well, guys, I think Terrence has to know that well, maybe he doesn't, because, like, people said Ryan never knew the matches, right?
Yeah, I think they said in the past, but I don't know. It just felt like he was really trying to sell it.
Yeah, I think if he doesn't know they're a match, then his instructions are like, sell, baby, sell, either way. But he sold it. I mean, I did end up getting spoiled because T-Bird sent me a message on Twitter. And like when T-Bird DMs you on Twitter, like you're going to look at it. And I immediately, like, I forgot what time it was. And I immediately saw that it was like, we want $1 million.
Yep.
Yeah. T-Bird did not message me about that, to be clear, but it did screw me.
You mean she wasn't spoiling you on the Are You the One finale?
She did indirectly. T-Bird from Survivor Season 3 spoiled Are You the One Season 7 for me.
Also, don't forget her cameo on Second Chances.
Oh, well, was that when I was there? Yes. Right? Was Second Chances, that was picked in the... in the audience of season 30, right?
Yeah, because Mike was taken off the ballot because he won.
Yes, I was there for that. I was at that finale. I could have met T-Bird.
Wow, you guys have a long history. You saw her on a probably pretty crappy night for her.
We keep missing each other.
Yeah, when you're on Survivor, like she'll have to go to the finale and like
that'll happen. All right. So Tevin and Kenya are fully in love. The matchmakers are going to be at the wedding. Yeah, sure. Let's give the likelihood of their future relationship.
I think zero. Like, not okay. That's mean. I'll give them 20% to continue dating for beyond 3 months. I'll give them 10% to be dating beyond like 6 months and like 2% for a year. I don't think there's any chance they end up together unless they elope and are just idiots.
So what's very interesting about Tevin and Kenya's dynamic is that like. You know, like, they each hooked up with other people and came back together. Tevin watched her literally be in love with her ex-boyfriend. They came back together. Like, I think they have, like, a more fluid definition of a relationship where I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the reaction is like, yes, we're very much together. We're in love. We're also, like, having this, you know, we're seeing other people and we're in distance and that's hard. But, like, we always have love for each other. Like, I feel like they could really make the definitions murkier than we've seen before, which might be like more realistic. So that'd be interesting.
That's a good. I like that. That like mindset, like respectful kind of bow out. You know, like we tried, like it's not working, but we really love each other. We care about each other. Blah blah blah. I can see that happening.
I think they're gonna pitch it that it is working. That they're sort of like we're together, we're together, and like you know we've been hanging out. But you know, like I kind of feel like it's like on the show. We're totally committed and I love him, but I also, you know, I have love for my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, make a good point. I guess we'll have to find out on the reunion.
Yeah, obviously that's one of the headline stories going into the reunion. We see Daniel and Samantha. We talked about their prospects. They're like, we found love and money and he just pulls out a nice Michael Scott. That's what she said.
couldn't expect anything better.
Lewis changed his life. What did you think about this moment from Lewis?
Yeah, he rode a horse. Like that was impressive. Like he did a lot of cool things. Like I like that he's appreciative of the experience, you know? I also feel like that. I don't know how to judge Lewis, right? Cause I feel like he's always in character. So like, I don't know if this was genuine Lewis or was he still just trying to like kind of just like make a joke out of it. But I don't know. It seemed kind of genuine.
Yeah, you're right about Lewis. Like, he's definitely all about the bit. Like, he's like, I apologize twice. But I definitely do think like this was a good experience for him. And then Asia stopped arguing. She minded her business and she started being more affectionate, which leads to a little affection shared between Lewis and Asia.
Yeah, they were pillow fighting under the covers, apparently.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Go ask Asia. Nothing happened. I love everyone.
He literally, like, everything is an act. Like, no part of that confessional was him just genuinely speaking. Like, he was all in character.
Are you surprised that nobody knew that this happened? Like, we knew from last week that everyone was finding out about this in the preview.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised because I feel like Asia's very, like, strong and she's like, I don't need anyone. And then the whole season, she's like, well, if you're not into me, like, screw you. Like, I'm gonna do my own thing. Like, I don't need you. But then I think she probably was like, okay, like, this happened. Like, things like that do, of course, they happen, especially in Are You the One? So I think maybe she was like, you know, let's keep it under wraps and they'll eventually find out when they find out. She doesn't seem like the type of person to kind of kiss and tell.
But the person who is kind of kissing and telling here, and we'll get to that in the Twitter segment. Quasi reveals his infatuation with Maria, and we get this kind of gross scene with Quasi and Zach
terrible.
Physically like moving Maria around the house, fighting over her.
The worst part for me was when she was sitting on that table and he was leaning into her and like kind of like getting in her personal space, and like it felt like she didn't want it. And it was just like she didn't want him near, like, that close to her. And he kept, like, getting closer and just seemed so forceful and kind of, like, just tough to watch.
Yeah, I was, like, trying not to project myself into this. But, like, I really thought it was gross and, like, unwanted. But it didn't look like she was, like, trying to leave. You know, like, she kind of looked like she was, like, flirting with him. So I don't want to, like, impose that on Quasi that,
yeah,
like, I was uncomfortable. But it wasn't great.
Yeah, like, you made a good point. Like, it's not like he, like, were like, oh, man, he was being a forceful jerk in that situation. It just seemed a little, like, too much in her personal space. Not that she was trying to get out of the situation. But, I don't know. It was an awkward thing to watch. Like, him trying to, like, spit game and, like, kind of fire off things to her. It was just weird.
And then he's like, we could be a match. And she's like, what do you mean? Like, we're not, though. And he's like, but in everything. Like, it's like still, I do love someone still trying to use the Are You the One pickup line after the matches have been revealed.
Yeah, it didn't work so well for him.
Did not work that we know of. But we see no chemistry with Shamoy and Maria. Like, we get this awkward kiss on the cheek he gives her that she sort of dodges. Like, do you think Maria and Shamoy have anything going on?
No. I think that they're like in the, it feels like they like went like past like the first few years of relationship because they've been together for like all these like weeks in this like little like secluded area. And they're like, okay, like we'll definitely try to make it work. She definitely seems like she's on the way out.
Yeah, that seemed a lot like about her image, like, oh, I have to do the right thing. Shamoy is waiting for me rather than like, I'm loyal to Shamoy.
Exactly. And like, I cannot see them lasting at all.
So we leave it with really Nutza saying to Kayla, you know, remember what I taught you. If you say one more bad thing about yourself, I'm going to come into your dreams and haunt you. I love that they're living together now. And we see everyone sort of leaving, saying their goodbyes. Zach and Bria kiss here. What do you think the future holds for Zach and Bria?
It was so weird. Like, she's just like, if I want him, I want him. Like, I don't think he'll... Like, based on what we know, but even beyond that, I don't think he's looking to settle down with anyone. So I do think they'll hook up. I think they'll maybe be, like, on again, off again, but I don't think there's any chance they, like, turn into a full-fledged relationship.
Yeah, I think Bria's like, I could have him back whenever I want. Do I want him back? I think they're both kind of like that. Like, they'll both be, like, in each other's orbit, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we have a bunch of questions this week. Thanks to everyone who left your questions. And then we have some tweets. So let's start with Scott Juer. I'm definitely butchering this. Sorry, Scott. Was the finale the most boring episode of the season, or was it just me?
I don't think it was the most boring. It wasn't what kept me on the edge of my seat, but I just like it's like finding out like what we've been kind of waiting for this whole time. Like, oh, do they win? Do they like what happens? So, and that's why I think you mentioned the reunion's a little bit better because you do find out a lot more information. But I don't think it was most boring, but it wasn't necessarily exciting by any means.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just sort of like meh. But someone who didn't think it was meh, Brian Cohen, who in the Facebook patron group apparently is consistently creating meaningful discussions with their posts, with his posts. That's like a tag he has on Facebook. Not self-given, impressive, but Facebook-given. He said, thoughts on what we could have with Quasi Maria scene throughout the season if we kill the honeymoon suite. So just to set this up, Brian, who used to co-host this podcast, is very adamant that and I think I agreed with this, who really knows, but Brian really stumps for getting rid of the honeymoon suite and keeping the match couples in the house. And I guess he's saying that, look at what happened with Quasi and Maria. We could have had this all year, you know, all season long, keeping them in the house. What do you think about that?
I'm agreeing with, but I think Brian makes a great point, because it could also, I feel like it would be way tougher for them to find their perfect matches. Cause like if Maria stayed in the house, I don't think she would have like just been with Shamoy the whole time. So we would have seen a crazy ton of drama coming from that end. So I'm all for that. I just think it would make the process a bit tougher.
So yeah, what's interesting is this season we didn't have a couple where like Bria or Zach left in a perfect match. You know, like we didn't really have any no match couples that were like fully screwing everything up. Like Callie and Brett separated, like Bria and Zach, like more or less separated to the point where it wasn't like Paris and Parrot, they were a match, but it wasn't like Bree and God, what's his name, the do it you love guy, Curtis, or like, you know, a no match couple that was going to be locked in. Even Cam and Kayla like separated, so we didn't have any couples where their removal was sort of like necessary to the success of the show. So in that case, it would have been less damaging maybe this season. You're right, Maria and Shamoy would have maybe been the oddballs, but you know, Kenya and Tevin getting out of the house was really just like less to watch on television. Yeah. I'm here for it. Look, Are You the One always tries things. Let's just try it. George Costanza. We never just try anything.
Exactly.
I also want to say that the odds that Brian is listening to this podcast and certainly this far into it are the same as Marie actually listening to the Challenge podcast. So, but thanks for the question. It was an interesting discussion, Ryan. I'll tell you next week when we talk about the challenge that we talked about it. Haley Strong, which perfect match makes the most sense? Which makes the least sense?
Okay, I'm going to make a bold statement here. I think the most sense, but not in terms of like a romantic thing. I think Mo and Kayla make a lot of sense. It just seems like their personalities go along really well together, and they're both nice people. I don't think she's attracted to him like that, but I do think it makes sense why they're a perfect match. I don't think Tomas and Asia make sense, because I just don't know. I just feel like we got nothing from Tomas minus that one tackle that one episode.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on both accounts. I'd also throw in Tevin and Kenya. I know that's boring, but I think Tevin and Kenya definitely make a lot of sense as a match together. I think Samantha and Lewis make a lot of sense. Like what Asia kept saying is that like very few females could handle Lewis. And I think that they have like an interesting dynamic. Lauren and Quasi for me narrowly edge out Asia and Tomas as the couple that makes the least sense. Like, we didn't even get the education explanation.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Lewis and Sam thing. I do like I actually like them, even if it's just as friends. Like, I feel like they, I don't know, she just kind of like puts up with his crap, and like he does the same for her. And yeah, Lauren and Quasi, but they're both his mom's a teacher, so that's clearly like eliminates any fear that they may not be a perfect match.
And then we got a question from Josh Creek, who says the math was down to two combinations after Brett and Nutso were confirmed. How humorous would it have been if they had chosen the other combination and got blacked out?
Oh, I would have loved every second of that.
Let's talk about the other combination. So the other possibilities were it would have been Asia and Quasi, Bria and Tomas, Callie and Mo, Jasmine and Lewis, Kayla and Zach, Lauren and Daniel, Morgan and Cam, Samantha and Andrew. So that would be statistically the other option.
Okay, so I'm trying to like assess what this, what would, so if they do that, right, they go to that other way. How many couples are switched from the perfect matches?
All of them.
So that's, what is that? You name like five?
Wait, what do you mean?
Sorry, I'm just trying to like figure out this whole situation.
So this would be, so the other possibility didn't have any repeats from all the eight perfect matches. So they would have blacked out, not including the three confirmed truth booth matches.
Okay. I'm just like trying, I don't know why I'm like so confused with this. Like, I feel like I'm having trouble grasping this situation.
No, you're fine. Let me send you a text message of the couple so you can look at them. I think that's easier. Yes.
Okay.
So that should be coming through to you. So this would be, so I'll just talk through while you're looking at it. Basically, I think if we're looking at like who are the couples they put together that would have made more sense, I think Asia and Quasi people have talked about. But other than that, really, Kayla and Zach makes no sense. Morgan and Cam would have been, I think they'd actually be cute, but that would have been an odd one.
Sam and Andrew, like, I feel like, do we see anything of them the whole season?
No. So I think the one they ended up picking were more ones where, like, at least people had thought about it a little bit.
It made a little more sense, I feel like, with the majority, right? Like, more of the, like, we had a few couples than in the other scenario where just, I feel like there was more that made sense. Like, this has, like, what, like, one or two that makes sense, maybe?
Right. So I think, Kayla
and Zach.
Yeah, I think, like, you're going to get oddballs no matter what happens when the finale of Are You the One. I think they made the better decision, but it would have been funny to see, like, you know, it wasn't even, like, switching two couples.
No, exactly. It would have been absolutely ridiculous. I feel like they could probably make a claim for anyone, right? Like, if they really wanted to, they can make a tie-in and a connection for certain couples. Like, they could say, like, oh, well, Quasi's with Lauren because of whatever. Like, there's always some grounds they can make for each other. But I just feel like it's a stretch with a lot of them. But I guess when you have that many people, it's kind of necessary to do that.
And then before we get to a couple tweets, we have some 5-star reviews. I don't know what I've already read out loud, but whatever. Utter Chaos 402, Reality TV Obsessed, Lily 21 Poo, NESRN, combination of Challenge Are You the One reviews. We really appreciate it. If you want to give us your thoughts, you go to robisthewebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We always, always appreciate it. So a couple awkward tweets I pulled. So Lewis tweeted at Asia, you did a great job tonight. And she wrote back, I appreciate the acknowledgement, Lou, like, happy emoji. I'm just like, that's very weird.
So weird.
And then Andrew was 50 Shades for Halloween. He tweeted, someone retweeted this. This was probably from Halloween, but it said 50 Shades Darker, smirk emoji, purple devil emoji, and it's like him in a bow tie and a shirt, but a bow tie and a black mask holding like a tie, like firmly with like a lace, white lace mask, which is very strange when you like don't have a female like companion to dress with, like a couple's costume. And so you just bring the woman's mask around.
That's when you know you're single and lonely.
And then Quasi tweeted, yeah, that's what happened that night. Laugh cry emoji, shush emoji, tongue out emoji with a smile.
Can people stop just using emojis for everything? Like, just say what you're gonna say. Like, I don't, like, tongue out emoji, lick emoji. Like, Jesus, like, these are grown men doing this and grown women doing this.
He, what was I gonna say? Shoot. He is under contract. He's just suggesting that him and Maria actually did hook up, and we will get to the bottom of it, hopefully at the reunion. And if they don't mention it at the reunion, I'll be on your Instagram lives, I'll be on your Twitters, I'll be in the trenches, I'll be finding that out.
Yes. You know what? Good for you. And you know what? You know what the thing about, I think we need another Samantha rant at the finale.
What do you mean a Samantha rant?
Like, when, remember when she went on that crazy rant at Cali?
Yeah, let's get it. I'm here for it.
Yes, like, we need something like that. I really think I really think that we need, like, the people just have meltdowns. And let's say Maria does with hooks up a Quasi. He's not gonna say shit. She'll be like, oh, okay. And I feel like he's so calm.
Yeah, no, it's not gonna pop off, but it will be juicy and it will be interesting, and we will be there to recap it all. Quick plug, I was on covering the Survivor voicemails with Rob on our parent network, RHAP. We had a lot of fun. You should check it out. It's totally irrelevant now, but still check it out. It was irrelevant then too. It was mostly just lunacy. Anything else to say before we segue out to the reunion?
No, I'm good to go.
All right. So you can subscribe at robhaswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We still have like 400 to 500 episodes of the challenge left to cover. One more episode of Are You the One? That's also by subscribing now. It's like sort of like setting your feed to, or setting your DVR to record like a full season so that you know when it's coming back. So that's how you'll know when all the shows we cover on MTV are coming back. You can follow me at Last Tweets, and you can follow Adam.
Adam Bonjo.
Oh, you pronounce it Bonjo.
Well, I say Bongo to everyone else, but my last name is Bon Giovanni, so I've always said Bonjo. And because it just means, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just, the pronunciation makes sense. So I slipped there and left my Are You the One reality TV podcast persona. So Adam Bongo.
See, I actually was talking with Rob about Twitter. Like, I love, because Rob always criticizes people's Twitter handles. And so we plugged your Twitter handle. We plugged Brian's. And that was a good Twitter handle to him, because like, you have a confusing last name. But if you say it as Bonjo, I feel like that knocks it down a peg, because then people might put in Bonjo.
For the record, I'm one of the probably 1% that would ever even think it was Bonjo. Like, most people just assume it's Bongo when they see it. That's why I say it like that, because the J would confuse people. You're exactly right. That's why I thought of that, like, when I was in like sophomore in high school creating a Twitter handle.
All right, so follow Adam Bongiovanni at Adam Bonjo. And we will be back next week to talk about the reunion and close this baby out. We'll see you then.
Bye-bye.